you gotta know that your symptoms you may be experiencing are real. They're real, and they could be worse if you keep ignoring them.
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to the show, Rebel. Thank you for being here. As always, I am so grateful for all of my listeners, and especially in times like these where I am, you know, rounding the final five episodes before we hit the 100 mark. And I mean, 100 is arbitrary. I mean, it could be as cool as 50 or as 80, but I feel like 100 is just kind of like that triple digit next level feeling where, like, it's not only that we've been able to do that many episodes. I mean, a lot of people bail on podcasts like within the first 30. I can't remember the statistic, but I know that a lot of people don't surpass the 30 mark, if I remember correctly. So anyways, it's kind of really fun to finally be at the nearing the 100 mark. So I hope you stay tuned for all of the great episodes to come and that you've been enjoying this year as we've done season 2 of Rebel Wellness. So today's episode actually was something that was personally requested that I finally do an episode on, and it's really good time because, as you may have done by finding this episode if you are new to the show, or as a lot of people have been, you know, kind of seeing on social media, there's a lot of different kind of conversations going on. There's, you know, frankly, from my perspective as a health professional and being in my 30s, being a little bit more understanding of how things tend to go and have been watching how social media can really catastrophize. There we go. That's the word that I think is a common word now. People are catastrophizing things all over social media because guess what, guys? It gets the likes, it gets the clicks, it gets the watches, it gets the views. And if you can keep people's attention, you are winning the game on social media. The algorithm wants whatever is taking attention. So if somebody strikes a chord with your fear internally, they are going to get pushed to you. It's not actually because they are right or that it is something to be legitimately concerned about at times, or, you know, for a lot of things with like nutritional fearmongering or anything with health fearmongering, sometimes it is one of those things where you do have to do your own research or talk to somebody who is well educated and has done research or has done, you know, the experience in life to actually see how things play out. And so try not to be too, like, I'm not trying to be cryptic right now. I'm just not trying to present any specific political things right now, because obviously this is a very hot time for a lot of us here in the US. You know, and but with that said, you know, there's definitely been a really strong voice of catastrophizing the current results in the extent of women's health concerns. And, you know, my entire life is built around women's health. So, of course, this conversation is extremely important to me. But it also is one of those things where I hope that you find comfort in understanding that I am extremely practical, extremely logical, and I like to do the due diligence of learning from people who can give the right answers of, do you actually see this play out this way or that way? Lawyers, doctors, and a variety of people in different areas. I'm not just looking towards who has some radical opinion on social media. Do they make entertaining, convincing videos? And la la la. And it's not in a way where like I'm calling you dumb for falling for those things. It's more that it is super easy and you have to be very careful of what you allow into your brain and who you follow, because sometimes those people are actually just doing it because they're gaining followers, they're gaining spread, you know, they're gaining attention. And that means more money can come back to them with whatever they're sponsored by or whatever they're selling or, you know, any of those things. So be very, very, very careful and intentional about who you follow, what you follow, and how much time you spend on social media right now in general. Because I think that there is just way too many things going on that are just chaotic. It's just chaos, you know, and it will reorder, it will calm down, and everything will be okay. But one of the biggest things, you know, as far as the conversation of IUDs and birth control and a lot of those things, it is really important for you to understand, at least from my understanding, it is not something to be super concerned about as far as birth control goes. The conversation that a lot of people are concerned about is regarding something that is the other half of the equation when you have an unplanned pregnancy. And so where people are getting this a little bit confused is that it is not, they're complete opposites in reality. You know what I mean? So having access to birth control is not the same thing as having access to choices that you can or cannot make after an unplanned pregnancy. Okay. So, you know, birth control is actually supported highly because it helps reduce that for the side that is, you know, concerned about choice or no choice. So again, we're not getting into it. I just want to remind you that you have to kind of think about that. That is not something that is going to be taken away because they actually want to have you not be in that position to have to make that decision, right? Because then it's up to your state and wherever you live as to, you know, if you have the opportunity for choice or not. But again, we're not going to get into that. And I know that I do have to touch on it because that is a lot to why this episode was requested. And it is obviously a big conversation. But as you hopefully will be able to see, is that, you know, being empowered through understanding your body and understanding how it works and how you can be 100% aware of when you're ovulating, when you're not, when you're about to start your period, from all these different signs and, you know, symptoms and such that your body does throughout a full healthy cycle, you know, that is something that is extremely empowering that you have so much control over. And learning that is extremely important. And it is something that is the reason we have so many issues with women understanding their cycles. And that's why I'm a huge fan of period trackers and, you know, like the Natural Cycles app, like the Flow app. You know, you guys have heard me talk about this a lot. And even back when Roe v. Wade was overturned and people were all over TikTok catastrophizing that you need to delete your period app because this or that, you know, there's a lot of angles to that that were super, it was a total half-baked thought, because in reality, nobody's going to use period trackers because there's a really high rate of non-perfect use. So you may not be logging things perfectly. And so how can they hold you to logging anything perfectly? And just because you missed logging your period 1 month, well, maybe you don't log your period every month. Like majority, like 85% of my clients who track on their period tracker don't track consistently on their period tracker. So of course, that would be the easiest way to ever throw out any evidence on a period tracker app, being like, oh, well, you didn't log your period for 3 months. It's like, well, no, I also have never really logged my period consistently ever, right? And most people are not going to be logging like, hey, I'm pregnant, and then having the choice, whatever the choice is, and then like logging that in their app. There's a lot of stuff where if you really think about the execution of it, it doesn't make any sense. And I actually even asked several of my lawyer clients who work in litigation and a variety of things, especially the ones who work with women's health. And they say that no, they pretty much never would go as far as to needing to get subpoena access to your period tracker app if they were really that hell-bent on convicting you. They would go straight to your text messages and stuff. I mean, legal system always goes to your text messages and emails, guys. So if you want to be careful about anything, not even just this conversation or topic, rather, you really should be careful about anything that you share on your text messages or emails. I mean, haven't you learned anything from all the stuff that keeps getting exposed of our own government and our own leaders? It's always getting exposed from pulled text messages and emails. Nothing online is safe. But what is safe is things that have imperfect use and, you know, apps that you have complete privacy to. And you can also just set up an account and not use your real name and stuff. You know, there's like a whole bunch of different ways if you want to be like extra super careful. But a lot of these apps, especially the really big ones like Flow, for example, they have a robust section that tells you exactly how your data is used and tracked and that you can completely clear it if you want to, you know. But overall, the worst thing that tracking your period shared data cookies or whatever it could be is that they might, you know, advertise more desserts at you from DoorDash when you're like on your period. There's really hardly any health information that is useful other than you had clotty period. It lasted 4 days. You got cramps. You got period acne. Your back hurt this time. You know, this is all data that's important for you to understand and learn that can give a lot of information and can also really help you when you print out those reports for your doctor. But it is something that legally in other areas is really insignificant. Okay, so same thing goes when we're talking about this conversation right now. I do want to encourage you and hopefully help you feel a little better about the fact that access to birth control is not going to go away, okay? That is something that is a huge part of women's health. The person who got recently voted in for the next term of office here in the US, if you actually deep dive into any of their campaign, none of it has any interest in taking those things away from us, okay? Despite what you've heard on a lot of the things, trust me, I deep dove into it because it is something that would concern me 100%, especially because of how many women I coach and even myself. So rest assured, it will be okay. And those things are not things to be concerned about being taken away. And I will eat my foot if it does happen in the past or in the future. But, you know, if it was supposed to happen, it would have already happened. So make sure that you come into any conversation about these things right now with a little calmer mind and a little bit more clarity and a little more practicality, because it is definitely easy right now to be fear-mongered, honestly, especially because social media is just so dramatic and there's just so much, again, catastrophizing that is going on there. So with that little intro put in there, I felt like that was really important, you know, and I'm hoping that you can kind of understand it from a perspective. It's fairly hard to articulate some of these things, especially in a really diplomatic way. So hopefully that came across that way for you guys, because, you know, I support choice. I support the ability for everybody to have autonomy over their bodies, and that comes with full autonomy over their bodies, just like, you know, full freedom of speech comes with full freedom of speech. Both sides get to be free. And so same thing goes for the female body. We should have full autonomy, full stop, you know? So, and that means, you know, not trying to force any type of medication or surgeries or thought processes around what you can and cannot do on your body. And so, you know, that comes with a lot of things that like some people said one way and sometimes they don't say it the other way. And so, you know, we just have to really be real and have open, honest conversations about these things, because a lot of the water is getting kind of muddy with what women are supporting some women with and what women are not supporting other women with. And so I think ultimately I'd like to see personally a lot more mindfulness and understanding when we're having these discussions, because, you know, I may not have articulated any of that perfectly, but that doesn't mean that my heart isn't in the right place. And so the same thing goes with who you see on social media. You may not actually like fully understand, or you might perceive what they said differently or whatnot, but give them the benefit of the doubt that they're trying their best as they can through the lens that they understand, you know. So a lot of people haven't really experienced as much in the women's health world as I have, and so maybe they may not see it a certain way. So that's all that. But what is important to learn today is I'm going to discuss kind of how IUDs work, what they are, the benefits, the risks, and some serious side effects, you know, that I have definitely seen from over 1,000 women I've worked with over the last decade, as well as my friends and family, and my own personal experience and decision-making process when it came to it, so that you can be a little bit more prepared to make that decision for yourself, whatever it is. You know, maybe you still will want one, maybe you won't want one at all. You know, it doesn't really matter to me in the end. What matters is that you fully understand everything that comes with an IUD, because there are so many, I would say 99% of my past clients, present clients, and friends who have gone, even my own experience, have gone through the process of getting an IUD or getting counseled for an IUD and this or that. And hardly any of what I'm about to share with you today is communicated effectively to them in a way that they understand the full sides of risks and side effects and benefits and all that jazz. How it even works. You know, a lot of women actually have no idea how it works. They just think a little thing is stuffed up there and pregnancy is prevented. And then when it runs out of juice, hormones, or if it's like a copper one and doesn't have any and you just decide that like you want to take it out to get pregnant again, you just take it out and it's all good and happy, go lucky. So it's not actually always like that. So we're going to talk about all that today. So I hope that this conversation is helpful for you. But as always, come join our social media and newsletters on all of the links in the show notes. So go pop over there if you want to come follow us at Kaylee Loren or at Rebel Wellness Podcast. Those are the best places to connect with me. I am the most active there right now. Let's dive in to the conversation. What are IUDs? All right. And just a reminder that this episode is for informational purposes only, and I'm sharing my experiences. So it's not a substitute for professional medical advice. So always consult with your healthcare provider for your personalized guidance and care, because that is extremely important for you to always remember on any health podcast you listen to. All right. Okay, so what are IUDs? What does IUD even stand for? So it stands for intrauterine device. It's basically a little device that goes into your uterus, and it's usually quite small. It's a T-shape, and it's mostly going to be, well, it can only be either hormonal or non-hormonal. So hormonal will usually have slow extended release progestin, which is the artificial form of progesterone. And then you'll also have the non-hormonal that uses copper. So it usually has like a little copper wire around it or a variety of copper. So those are the two IUD options that are available. You know, unfortunately, even when I was, you know, 10 years ago, when I was in my 20s, early 20s, they still had no better options. And unfortunately, I wish that they had continued to make better variations of IUDs or similar things that were safer. You know, for a bit there, they were actually researching a ball-shaped IUD. And, you know, still to this day, I don't believe that's even available. So it really sucks that they are so slow to making better, more effective, and safer for us devices and birth control, because frankly, majority of the birth control is still directed at the female. Like, we are still the ones carrying the burden of artificial hormones and different ways to try to avoid getting pregnant. And it's very frustrating, you know. And then there's a lot of other ways that people do it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that soon. But if you haven't listened to my birth control episodes before, I've got some great episodes already past, and we'll link them in the show notes for you. So you could check that out, where I talk about more than just the IUDs. But this is actually just going to be highly focused on IUD, since it is such an important conversation right now. First, it's really important to understand how the IUD works besides just being up there and like jamming your uterus because it doesn't entirely jam it, so to speak. So hormonal IUDs. So this is like the most common one is Mirena. There's also Liletta, Kylena, Skyla. Kylena and Skyla, I believe, are like the slightly smaller sized ones, but the most common one that majority of women will get that is almost always covered by their insurance and pretty much all doctors will push it is the Mirena. So hormonal IUDs, they release that synthetic progestin, like I had mentioned, which basically acts like progesterone and thickens the cervical mucus to block the sperm from implantation so that it cannot implant into your uterine lining. So hormonal IUDs work by releasing that synthetic progestin, which I had already mentioned, which thickens the cervical mucus to block sperm, and it also thins the uterine lining to prevent implantation of that sperm. And it also might be suppressing ovulation. So it is actually interesting because one of the most common things you'll hear from a lot of your conventional medicine doctors, you know, a lot of the OB-GYNs who put in the IUDs, they were taught just that you actually ovulate all the time still and that you're fine, which modern doctors have started to realize that is not the case because now we've had women who have been on IUDs with the synthetic progestin for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you know, 2, 5, 6 IUDs later. And then they're realizing like, oh, you have fertility issues and or major hormonal imbalances. Or recently, like we've been learning, they've made a correlation between breast cancer and IUD usage, hormonal IUD specifically. And I will talk more about the whys and the possible kind of pathology behind that towards the end of this conversation, because I think it is really important that you understand a bit more of how that goes. But it is really important to understand that hormonal IUDs do use slow release progestin. I say it like that because we actually don't know if everybody's body is uptaking it as slowly as it's intended. And so it is important to know that, you know, Mirena and all of those do have that synthetic progestin and it can and absolutely does cause certain side effects and risks. So we will talk about more about that in a little bit. But that is kind of the main way that hormonal IUDs work is that not only does the device kind of go in and block the routes of the sperm to the fallopian tubes to implant on an egg from the ovaries, it also thickens the cervical mucus to try to block the sperm, and it also thins the uterine lining to prevent implantation that way. So, and it also suppresses ovulation, usually. Again, it's usually. So there's a lot of different things that are a little bit kind of like gray area when it comes to hormonal IUDs. But for the most part, a lot of people have said that they are just a tiny smidge more successful than non-hormonal copper IUDs. So let's talk about non-hormonal copper IUDs. So how this one works is that the copper IUD releases copper ions, which creates a spermicidal environment, aka kills the sperm. It impedes the sperm's mobility and viability. So basically, it kind of sterilizes the sperm that comes into contact with it, which is how it prevents fertilization of the egg. So more women tend to ovulate still on copper IUDs. However, it became more front of mind to me when I thought about it more when my OB-GYN, when I was talking about getting an IUD, when she basically described to me that not only does it release copper ions to do that, it also just pisses off the tissue in your uterus, making it a non-viable environment to, again, fertilize an egg and implant and go through that whole process. So essentially, you're getting chronic inflammation in your uterus. So a copper IUD is basically causing chronic inflammation in your uterus, which, as we know, anything where there's chronic inflammation, there is issues because that's not supposed to be that way. So why do you think, if you've ever known or if you've ever experienced the beginning 6 months at least when you have a copper IUD, most women deal with heavy bleeding, and that is because there is an irritating object in your uterus that your body uses its method of flushing it out, aka bleeding. That's why we have a period every month. It's to clear it out. That's why it does that, is because your body is naturally being like, what the hell is this? Get it out of me. It's irritating me. It's causing inflammation. It's pissing off the tissue and inside of me. Like, this isn't supposed to be this way. Get it out. And so that's why typically a lot of women will actually struggle with 3 to 6 to 9 months of bleeding, because their body is like, this isn't supposed to be here. Can you please get rid of this? It's poisoning me, quite literally, because you're not really supposed to have things like copper in that area long term either. So when people say that there's like lower risk of hormonal things and this or that with copper IUDs, sure, initially, yes. However, the downside is then you're going to be dealing with whatever your body's long term reaction to having an inflammatory object chilling in your uterus. All right. So that when I was originally looking to get it, basically I had looked at all the options of birth control, and I had landed that the IUD was probably the easiest, set it and forget it. But I didn't want to go back on hormones, because I had already struggled with estrogen dominance from using birth control pills and all this different stuff. And so I was like, okay, well, copper IUD sounds a little bit better. And then when I had heard that from my OB-GYN, then I went home and I dove into a lot of the forums, and it's like woman after woman after woman saying all these different symptoms that they struggled with, including some interesting things that happen with your bacterial environment. So we're going to talk about that also a little bit later when we talk about risks and side effects. But it is really important to know that that is how that IUD works. The non-hormonal copper IUD basically pisses off the tissue in your uterus, making it a non-ideal environment for sperm to travel and implant. And it also is spermicidal, meaning that it helps basically ruin the effectiveness of the sperm that make it in there. So copper IUD, usually people say that you can have those up in there for 5 to 10 years max, I think. And hormonal IUDs, depending on the size, like the Mirena and such, you can usually have those for up to 5 years, I believe. And the Kylena and Skyla are like 3 years. So you'll have to get one inserted and removed every amount of years, depending on which one you choose. So those are how those work. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So just to kind of incorporate some of the benefits of IUDs, because my whole conversation today isn't trying to scare you off. It is, though, to help you understand that there is always risk and side effects that come with these choices, because this is already a unnatural thing that you're doing to your body. So when your doctor tells you like, oh yeah, oral contraceptives, they just basically trick your body into thinking it's pregnant. No, it doesn't. Your body is so smart. Your body knows when it's actually pregnant, and the symptoms that you'd get when you're actually pregnant are nothing like birth control. And also to mention, you going on sugar pills, the placebo pills or whatever, for a few days, every, you know, cycle of pill pack, is not an actual period, it's a ghost period. So a lot of the stuff that our doctors were unfortunately taught about birth control when they went through schooling is completely not the actual way it's played out in human bodies, especially because many of us have been put on birth control, you know, and if you were mostly, I think the 80s is when it started to become a really consistent common thing for young women to be put on. Technically, birth control came around the 60s and such, aka the summer of love. That's why a lot of women were able to just do whatever they wanted to do and not have to worry about the repercussions, which was great. However, downstream, now we've basically put all young girls on birth control and altered their hormones and kind of lied to them about what it actually means for a long term. And I am so grateful for some of, you know, my younger clients and younger friends who have listened to what I had to say about, you know, fertility awareness method and actually learning your cycle and becoming empowered by understanding your cycle and what it means for your health long term. Whereas many of us, like myself included, were basically just given birth control the moment we started having periods and having some weird side effects like bad acne and whatever, because our doctor said, oh yeah, you know, just take birth control, it'll clear it right up. And then were on it for 10 to 15 to 20 years, like I said, and many women are coming out of it with serious hormone imbalances, infertility, you know, a whole slew of issues, or even problems that were masked and that never got any significant symptoms because birth control kind of takes a pause button. Birth control never heals anything. That is a huge misconception. It only pushes pause on a lot of the symptoms because it kind of flattens the playing ground of your hormones, because it honestly cuts out quite a bit of them. And we do typically see an issue come in where you have synthetic progestin. It's not real progesterone, and it does not actually operate in the body the full way that real, made by your ovaries, progesterone operates. And we've seen issues where when that progestin, like in the hormonal IUD, is hanging out for years on end, you stop making progesterone. So your body also still keeps making estrogen, and we see estrogen dominance happen. And then we also see a lot of women who are progesterone deficient, and they struggle with anxiety and depression, like significantly. And that was one of the big things I remember reading when I was researching which route I wanted to take for birth control, which, spoiler alert, I decided to not do any birth control at all. And that's what I started to learn the fertility awareness method. And it was a game changer for me. But Marina, when I started looking into the forums, like I think it was like 70% of the women had reported issues with depression after like year one, year two, year three being on Marina. And they would always go to their doctors, and their doctors said, oh, that's not related to the birth control. That doesn't happen. It's not a listed side effect. And now I believe it is, but it took years for that to actually get recognized, because they don't care about how it affects the other hormones in the body. As long as it does the job of preventing pregnancy, that's all that matters to them in the pharmaceutical world. So unfortunately, you do have to be very careful about your decisions you make when it comes to IUDs, but you're also not going to be screwed if you've been on one and you decide like, okay, now I'm ready to get off of it. Like, enough said, like I wanted this or that. I might be saying this a little bit early in the episode, but I just want to make sure that you understand that you're never too late. And there's been many times where I've helped a lot of my clients detox off of it, which is where, you know, that episode that I did recently, again, check out the show notes to get the quick link, but detoxing off birth control is extremely easy, but it has a method. So you definitely want to go listen to that and follow that program, because I took the time to learn from some amazing practitioners, including like Dr. Brighton, who has the Beyond the Pill book, which she teaches how to, you know, transition off of birth control as well. But again, coming into the benefits of IUDs, because there are some fantastic things, because not every woman has the ability to easily do the fertility awareness method or something like that, or just condoms safely, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the effectiveness of IUDs are roughly 98 to 99% effective in preventing pregnancy. And they are very convenient, you know, so once they're inserted, they provide a good long-term amount of contraception without daily attention. So you're not like popping pills or having to put a new like little ring in if you've ever done like the NuvaRing, or you're not having to get it inserted into your arm if you did the Paragard. That's kind of an area where a lot of people find that to be kind of convenient. And hormonal IUDs can reduce your menstrual bleeding and cramps because of it kind of ceasing your ovulation and introducing the body with fake progestin. So it makes it think that it's kind of chronically in this luteal phase. So if you don't understand your cycle yet, there's definitely some great episodes I have also done, but also just Googling a hormonal 28-day cycle and look at the spike and the drop of estrogen and progesterone. Luteal phase is when your progesterone naturally peaks. And it's very important to understand that estrogen and progesterone are besties. They inverse each other. They keep each other in check. They balance each other. They are besties. So they need each other for specific reasons outside of just fertility, right? So if you're not creating natural progesterone because your body has suppressed it because it's getting all this synthetic progestin, your body is going to start getting into this position where now it has all this fake progestin and a ton of estrogen, because your estrogen is going to just basically be hanging out, never getting balanced out by its bestie, progesterone, and it's going to be able to just stay pretty high Or it could also, you know, be in such a bad imbalance that you end up in that estrogen dominant state, like I've talked about before, where your estrogen is way too high compared to your progesterone. And that is actually a really common side effect that we see for a lot of women who have used hormonal IUDs long term, over 5 years or so. And so it's something that you can absolutely fix, but you definitely need a practitioner so that you can basically find out exactly what program you should be doing, just how imbalanced are you, yada, yada. Because you may need to naturally stimulate your progesterone production again so that you can have a healthy pregnancy, because pregnancy is the progesterone state. So that is where, you know, a lot of practitioners think, okay, well, you're taking artificial progestin. So basically your body should be thinking it's in a pregnancy state. And it's like, yes and no. I mean, like when you're on birth control, majority of women don't start lactating, right? You know, there's a lot of things that your body is very intelligent. It is very intelligent. It knows when it's actually growing a human or not. And so it's doing what it can when it's being faced with the synthetic progestin, but it's never going to be doing exactly what it's like until it is actually growing a baby and in the progesterone state. So that's really important to understand. So when people say that, like, oh, well, IUDs are great because they help reduce the menstrual bleeding and the cramping, again, it's because it's getting fed fake progestin and being a little bit tricked into this state of pausing ovulation and pausing periods. So women who struggle with PCOS, major hormone imbalance, PMDD, endometriosis, a lot of the times most conventional doctors will just put their patients on birth control because, oh, well, it's really effective at, you know, reducing your menstrual bleeding and your cramps that you're struggling with. But it's only because it's pushing pause on it, okay? So I hope that makes a little bit more sense for you. And it is something that, you know, if you do get a doctor who that is the treatment plan, definitely look into a functional medicine doctor or something along those lines, because they will help you kind of get more into the root cause and help fix a lot of those imbalances that are definitely there that a lot of conventional medicine is not trained and or they don't operate in the pathology of trying to figure out how to fix those things for you. They just give you little bandages all the time because it's more management. It's sickness management, unfortunately. So we've already discussed kind of naturally a little bit of the risks and side effects of IUDs, but there is definitely some things that I think are important for you to understand as far as the common risks and side effects that a lot of people deal with, that I would say, unfortunately, it's more like 60-40 or 70-20 of bad experiences with IUDs to good as far as collectively throughout my clientele. And I've mentally been taking notes on it because I was always so curious when I was asking around before I almost got an IUD myself about people's, you know, experiences. And then ever since then, even though I had made the decision to not get one myself, I still collected data passively from my clientele who had used them for this or that reason and how it went for them. So like I said, ultimately it was more close to a 70-30 experience of how they did. So everybody, you know, pretty much 100% were satisfied with the reduction of pregnancy risk. But all of them had major symptoms either during it, from it, or after it that they pretty much were saying that they would rather have not done it if they knew that it would cause this issue. So some of the issues that you can have are one of the worst ones, honestly, and I was actually just talking to one of my good friends about this, was insertion discomfort. So a lot of the times they say like, oh, it's just going to be a little bit uncomfortable, you know, this or that. You can take a Tylenol or whatever. Sometimes they even tell you like you can't take any pain meds because it can mess with your blood and all that kind of stuff. But it's really unfortunate because like they'll give men any type of pain med for any sort of potential pain. But for women, it's like you have to like beg and sell your kidney to get a pain management option. It's really weird and unfortunate and it sucks. It's getting a little better, but I would say ultimately it still is lackluster in that category. But for insertion discomfort, I have had so many people actually get some level of PTSD from it because it hurt so bad and that they weren't really warned. You know, some people have actually even just gone in and been like, I want a birth control option. And they're like, oh, well, I can actually give you an IUD today. And so you're like, oh, sure. And then it's like, oh my God, that was the worst experience I've ever had. That hurts so bad. And then some, again, rarely, some people have been like, eh, it wasn't so bad. It was pretty uncomfortable. But, you know, something else too that I have really learned is that a lot of women downplay their pain because we've been kind of taught to just grin and bear it. And so ultimately, I would say, if you're wondering how uncomfortable it is, I would say most people say it's an 8 out of 10 pain, 7 out of 10. Nothing less than that, really, unless you take some sort of pain management thing secretly, I guess. I have no idea. But I do know that ultimately it is pretty uncomfortable and it can be painful throughout the rest of the day, but usually it'll kind of go away. But again, not for usually the copper IUD because that one, since it is so reactive inside the uterus because of the copper, that a lot of people do deal with cramping and that bleeding issue for months on end until it finally subsides. So that is something to be aware of with the choice between non-hormonal and hormonal. The other thing that is a risk and side effect of IUDs is perforation. So what that means is that the IUD can poke into your uterine wall during insertion, and that can lead to quite a bit of complications. So perforation does happen to more people, again, than they let on. It depends on how well it inserts. But again, not many of us have the same angle of how all of our lady bits come together up there. And so sometimes it can be tougher for your practitioner to insert it carefully because, you know, you might have a twisty and bendy one or one that goes a different direction, you know? So that is something that can put you at a little bit higher risk for perforation. And honestly, it's really hard to understand or know ahead of time whether or not you're somebody with a unique situation going on up in there. So you can also get expulsion, which I have had so many people actually have. So it's weird to me that they still say it's a small risk. So expulsion is when the IUD can be expelled from the uterus. So of course that reduces its effectiveness because it is no longer in the place it's supposed to be, or just getting out of place in general. So essentially your body, again, smart, it's an organ. It's an artificial object being put into that organ, and your organ might just deal with it and push it out. That happens. Sometimes too, vigorous romantic activities can also put it out of place. And that is, you know, another thing that has happened quite a bit. I would say implantation was another thing that is similar to perforation, but implantation tends to happen when the IUD has been up inside of you for a while and it gets a little out of place and then it starts to implant into your uterine lining. That is another common thing that I have had happen to over two handfuls of clients in the past. Along with the expulsion though, I will say that there is a higher chance of it getting just out of place. So that also can tend to happen with different lengths and sizes of your partners and yourself and it getting moved around or even just inside your body from whatever you're doing, whatever, just existing. And so it getting out of place is a very common thing to happen. And oftentimes that's where you will see situations like ectopic pregnancies or just getting pregnant in general unexpectedly is if your IUD is out of place. So they say that you can check it by kind of sticking your fingers up there and seeing if the strings are in place. However, feeling the strings in place doesn't always tell you the whole picture. So a lot of times places like Planned Parenthood will tell you that you can go and get an ultrasound of that to see if it's still in place properly. But that isn't very easy to do all the time. And sometimes it may be tricky to get in for an appointment for that. So you sometimes may have to have like a real significant reason as to why you want to make sure that it's in place for them to actually like go through with the appointment and do it for you. So that is another thing just to be aware of. And it is extremely common. I've had so many clients and friends actually have it not in the right place anymore, usually around year 3 or 4, depending on which one. But again, usually people have the Mirena, which is the 5-year. So if that is something that, you know, you're curious about, you may want to get it checked annually if you can to make sure that it's in place. Again, like we said, the menstrual changes because of the hormonal changes, the copper IUDs tend to lead to heavier and more painful periods, especially the initial months after insertion, like we were talking about, for the mechanism of how it works, like we learned, right? And then menstrual changes can feel positive for the hormonal IUDs. However, again, that tends to lead to long-term imbalances because it is suppressing natural ovulation, which is the natural way that our body creates balance with our estrogen and our progesterone. And so those are the side effects that you may be getting, is that you'll have those kind of changes where you stop ovulating. And then that plays a role in a lot more than, again, just fertility. So that's really important to understand as well. And then alongside that, the hormonal side effects are that you can get, especially depending on where your hormones are before you get the IUD, you may get some major mood changes, including anxiety and depression, acne, headaches, all the way up to migraines, constant breast tenderness. You know, that's usually a side effect of the excess progestin in your body, because progesterone in general causes breast tenderness. But when you're in your luteal phase, aka the 5 to 10 days preceding your period, you will experience basically a lot of those symptoms if your body is kind of in this hormonal imbalance that comes with that progestin that is artificially in the hormonal IUD. And there's a whole lot more of the other side effects in that zone when it comes to the hormonal IUDs, but we're not going to get too much into the side effects because they can get really specific. But what I was telling you earlier that I said I would come back to is that copper IUDs, interestingly enough, they can and tend to affect your vaginal bacteria due to the chronic inflammation that goes on in the body, and also just the way that copper interacts with your body's natural bacteria biome. So this actually was something when I learned about it that was really interesting, because I actually had had my best friend go through this in our mid-20s, where she was dealing with a fever and a lot of these different issues and health issues, and a horrible odor coming from down south. And so she finally got into a doctor and they were like, yeah, it's your copper IUD. There's some issue there. It's out of place. So like I had said before, it moves more than they let on. But not only that, it was, when it was removed from her, it was covered with a whole bunch of weird tissue and like bacterial growths that were definitely infected. And I mean, there was pus and stuff as well. And so essentially the doctor was like, oh, you were one of those people who have this reaction where they get a bacterial overgrowth that causes an infection. Not cool. Definitely not cool, because an infection in your uterus also causes a whole lot of other issues with your fertility, your mood, you know, your overall health in general. I mean, It's our major organ that is part of the feminine being, right? So of course it's going to cause more systemic issues than just you have an infection in your uterus. So that was one of the first times I had heard of that happening. And then they actually have done some research where in the Journal of Nature Communications, where the Dr. Brian Brown was looking into women in Africa and Kenya who were in the sub-study of contraception options. And it was more initially about HIV incidence and prevention. But then what they had found was that there was significant interactions between the copper IUD and resident bacteria that were in the uterine tract. So what happened essentially is that there was significant increases in opportunistic bad bacteria, and it also barred, or not really barred, it selectively reduced the growth of healthy bacteria, which basically enabled the inflammatory bacteria, the bad bacteria I was talking about, to abundantly increase. And basically, as a result, the body produced inflammatory proteins to continue that inflammation. So again, not only because of the way that the copper ions work, it also proliferates the bacteria in your vaginal tract to cause inflammation, by killing and stunting healthy bacteria and enabling inflammatory bacteria. So again, that is where we are starting to understand better that even though it's non-hormonal and theoretically and, well, practically it does work to prevent pregnancy and kill sperm, what is it doing to the host, the body that it's in? And unfortunately, it is causing a lot of havoc by this whole bacterial synergy and issue, okay? So that's something to be very aware of, especially if you're somebody who struggles with like UTIs or bacteria vaginosis. You know, all of those are signs and symptoms that you have a bacterial imbalance, because you should, you know, a little bit of certain scents down there is normal, but a really strong, fishy, odorous scent and things like that are signs of a bacterial imbalance, which typically I see that a lot more correlated to pH imbalances, because your pH determines what bacteria is opportunistic and can grow or what bacteria dies. But if you're somebody who has a non-hormonal IUD, such as the copper IUD, and you struggle with, you know, strong vaginal odors and things like that, you may be at risk of having the bad side effects of using a copper IUD so long that it changes your bacteria in your vaginal tract. And down the road, this immediately impacts your fertility. And this is where especially Dr. Brown, are trying to get a lot more work around this so that we can prevent, you know, potential accidental sterilization of women by ruining their vaginal tract bacteria, unfortunately. And then, you know, what happens to the body when it's in a chronic inflammatory state, especially specific organs, when a specific organ is struggling with that. So that is something that I'm very interested in further research on. However, we have seen it. It has been proven that that is a bad side effect. And it was very interesting for me firsthand to have experienced that with one of my best friends, because she went through exactly that. So that's something to be extremely aware of when it comes to risks and side effects when you are thinking of the non-hormonal IUD. Okay, and so again, just to kind of come back around to get a little deeper into the understanding of the hormonal imbalances that come with hormonal IUDs like Mirena, is again that it suppresses your body's natural progesterone production, which leads potentially to an estrogen dominant state, which correlates to associated symptoms such as mood swings, weight gain, decreased libido, anxiety, depression, etc. And so a lot of the times, you know, the easiest, most common phrase that we hear practitioners say and gaslight us with all the time when we come to them about concerns about gaining weight on birth control is that it wasn't the birth control, that's not a known side effect. I think at this point, though, most female practitioners are actually like, okay, yeah, it could be that. However, they still don't test your hormones and try to help you get on a path to clear that, because there's so many amazing natural supplements out there and lifestyle factors that can naturally reduce your estrogen, increase your progesterone, you know, this or that. I mean, part of that does include getting off the synthetic hormone. However, wild to me that that is not a conversation. They just say, let's try a different type. Let's try a different level. Let's just do the mini pill where it's just progesterone. You know, there's a whole lot of things that are like a little bit broken in the system, as you can tell by my little bit tangents here and there. However, it is really important to understand that individually, you may have reactions to IUDs that are not possibly what everybody else experiences. You know, like I was talking about my best friend, I remember her saying when we were talking about it that her doctor kept saying, well, it can't be the IUD because you've only had it in for a few years. And, you know, we don't hear about side effects like that. Okay, yeah. Well, her body had that side effect apparently. And so she ended up with an infection due to her IUD, and her IUD wasn't even in place anymore. Like, her body was working really hard to try to get rid of this foreign object. And so if you are experiencing or do experience any significant symptoms, it can absolutely be the IUD, guys. It's, again, it's an artificial object being put into an organ. It's not meant to be there, and it's altering your natural cycle, your natural hormone balance, your natural bacteria, microbiome. You know, it's going to do all those things. So of course, if you're dealing with symptoms 3, 6, 9 months or years down the road, absolutely, it can absolutely be your IUD. So don't let people gaslight you into believing all like, oh, no, it'll get better, you know, just or that. Sometimes, though, I will say, you know, because I'm not all hater on the IUDs, there are some people who can have a good reaction to it. Maybe you want to use it throughout college, something like that, short term, like 4 years. You know, maybe you want to do the Mirena and you want to take it out when you get done with college. Fine. Totally great. Keep an eye on your symptoms. You know, at first, it could be super uncomfortable, this or that. It could cause you these issues. But if those symptoms, like we have talked about, start to show up and they get significant, first thing you should think about is your IUD. Don't put it last. So many people endure horrible, debilitating anxiety or depression or, you know, acne or hair loss or weight gain or all the above or some of the above. And they hold on to it so much because they think it's their only option for preventing pregnancy. And I'm here to tell you that it is not, okay? There are so many natural ways you can prevent pregnancy. And especially if you open your mind to thinking about how you treat your body when it comes to intercourse with a partner or intercourse with people you go on dates with or whatever it is, you know, you do you. But at the same time, it is really important for you to understand that there are options and there are ways for you to prevent pregnancy naturally or with, you know, condom method with your fertility awareness method in mind, a whole variety of things that you can totally safely do without needing hormonal altering to put yourself in a position to prevent pregnancy. So definitely look into that more if you're somebody who's like, okay, maybe I won't do an IUD. Maybe I'm going to hold off and wait and see if I can learn my body, you know, all this or that. Period trackers, guys. Flow apps algorithm is amazing. And I know I talk about it in some of these episodes so much, but it's because it is so amazing. And it's been monumentally helpful for so many of my clients who have detoxed off birth control and took their feminine health back by just following the fertility awareness method. You know, some people used to call it the family planning method, but I like fertility awareness better because you become aware of when you're fertile and you know when you're not. And you can have unprotected sex when you're in that zone, and then you have protected sex when you're in the fertility zone, you know? And you just learn your body. You learn your mucus that your body produces. You learn the changes in scent that tell you when you're in a certain part of your cycle. You learn the feeling, like I can feel when I ovulate many times. Like I can feel that cramp on one side of my ovaries. So I know that I'm in the ovulation zone. Like there's so many fantastic things that can come from that that do not require hormones. And those apps are women's health. That is why I was so against people trying to scare women away from it, because those apps are women's health. They are prevention of pregnancy. They are unplanned pregnancy. They are actual success with pregnancy. You know, a lot of women use those for being fertile. They want to know when they're ovulating so that their partner can try. You know, there's so many great things that come from these apps that help make your fertility and your cycle so accessible and understandable that you should be using the power of those before you put yourself at risk of any sort of decision that you don't feel comfortable making. Okay. So if you feel comfortable making some of it about your birth control, totally great. You know, do it, learn it, pay attention to your body again and see if it works for you. But if you're somebody who doesn't and wants to, you know, find the other way, find the way that doesn't require hormonal alteration, you know, for me with birth control, the worst things were, you know, not only the estrogen dominant state that I got thrust into that put on like 30 pounds of fat in like 2.5 months, but was the fact that I like completely lost libido. And if you're not horny, you're not healthy. That's the phrase that we say in the wellness world. And so if you lose that, like zest for life gets gone. And it's not like you're supposed to just be running around like men all horny all the time, but that you should at least have that 1 week or 2 week or 3 weeks where you actually feel interested in your partner or interested in anything that is gonna be spicy for you. And if you're not experiencing that, then your body's not going through healthy hormonal cycles as it should. If you are premenopausal, again, let me put that caveat in there because obviously you shouldn't be worrying about any of these things if you are menopausal or postmenopausal. But I hope that this is really helpful for you guys today because it is really a big conversation. And I don't think, you know, I wanted to talk more about the IUDs, not only just for how do they work, like mechanically, like down to a T, literally, pun intended, because they're T-shaped, but also because you gotta know that your symptoms you may be experiencing are real. They're real, and they could be worse if you keep ignoring them. And so pay attention to it no matter what birth control you're on. But again, specifically with IUDs, they aren't just a set it and forget it. You know, that is something that I was taught when I was young, and it turns out you can't always just set it and forget it. And again, I can't tell you how many people, like another one of my friends recently, she got it removed and a piece of it had broken off, and she's not sure if it's still up in her or if she expelled it. So there's just, you know, a lot of things that we should be able to fully understand and know as females so that we do have full autonomy on our body and make the decisions that really matter the most, right? So I hope, again, that this cleared some misunderstandings for you, or hope that it helped you feel, you know, empowered, and that you also are a little bit more just, you know, well-rounded in your understanding of how IUDs work and whether or not you actually want to get one, or if you have a friend. You know, if you have a friend that is thinking about getting an IUD, absolutely send this episode to her. And it is really important for you guys to know that, like, I, again, am not trying to fearmonger with this episode. It is actually just information I wish I knew, and my clients said that they wish they knew before making those decisions at a younger age. And because they're not your only option, and they're not just a set it and forget it. Sometimes they put you in a position where you are absolutely obsessed with the fact that you are dealing with, you know, again, debilitating anxiety or something like that. And you don't have to. You really don't have to. Pregnancy is not as confusing and mysterious as they want us to make it seem. I know so many people who tell me that they're just so scared because they have this one friend that got unexpectedly pregnant because she wasn't on any birth control and she was supposed to be not in her this part of her cycle and she got pregnant anyways. You know, all these different things. I hear these stories all the time, and I'm like, well, they're actually not then fully understanding their cycle, and they are also not doing the other easy route of preventing it, of properly using condoms and stuff like that, because condoms are actually very effective if you understand how to use them, how long you should be using them, that you should not be dry. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we should probably continue to talk about if you want more of these conversations that are involving, you know, sexual health, because, you know, it is really important. And I'd love to get some people on the podcast this next year to talk a little bit more about that stuff for you guys, because I think there's so much taboo around sexual health for women, and there really shouldn't be, because it is, again, preventative women's health care to be talking about these things together, especially from the perspectives of, like, you know, what I just shared with you, from all of the people that I have experienced, and even myself, who, you know, wish they knew better, or wish they did something differently, or wish they paid attention to these symptoms and dealt with it sooner. So, all right, that's it for today's episode. I hope that you learned something today, and again, share it with somebody you think could benefit from this. I would absolutely love it if you would take a quick second, if you're on Spotify, to throw us a 5-star or give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have any feedback for me, or you have any thoughts or questions, you know, feel free to DM me on @KayleeLoren or @RebelWellnessPodcast on Instagram. I'd love to chat with you there. But as always, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence. I'll catch you next week on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram @RebelWellnessPodcast or my coaching page @KayleeLoren, or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can, like, dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do-it-yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live, so stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand-curated, not AI-generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself, and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So all right, Rebel, until next episode.